Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 14. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1081. Just to set the context a little bit here, this is towards the end of the Gospel according to Mark. And Jesus had just been telling the disciples a foretelling of the destruction of Jerusalem. And so they come to him and they say, when is this going to happen? When will these things happen? And so Jesus goes on this discourse talking about the end times, when this period of desolation and tribulation is going to come upon the earth. And these are the signs that are given. And so we pick that up kind of in the middle of his teaching here in verse 14, Mark 13, verse 14. When you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it may not happen in winter. For in those days there will be such tribulation as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created until now, and never will be. And if the Lord had not cut short the days, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. This is the word of the Lord. And so as we consider our ongoing study of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit being manifested through these gifts, that's what these gifts are really about, is Holy Spirit power and how it is manifested in different ways. We look once again at Paul's instructions to the church in Corinth, where he identifies a number of these gifts. This is not an all-inclusive list, but he talks about each given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For one is given wisdom. Another is knowledge, another is faith, another gifts of healing, another working of miracles, another prophecy. And then we get to this one here, another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, also known by some as the gift of discernment, gift of discernment or distinguishing between spirits. This may seem like a strange thing, but basically it's based on the revelation in Holy Scripture that the world is full of the working of God, the working of the Holy Spirit, but also we are at war. There is an enemy, and this enemy is very powerful. And so we need to understand distinguishing between spirits is when is it the working of the Holy Spirit and when is it the working of the enemy? And there is no middle ground. As C.S. Lewis wrote, every moment of time and every inch of earth has been claimed by God and counterclaimed by Satan. It's either of God or it's of the enemy. There's no in between. Now, it's very, very dangerous, particularly, and I believe this gift important for today, because there is a great movement and a great awareness of things of the spirit world. I've heard it in numerous times in the past. I heard it again in a teaching I was listening to this week that shared the fact that this younger generation is more spiritually attuned than previous generations for a long way. So we see a younger generation very in tune to the things of the Spirit. And the teaching was basically, no time have we seen such a difference between a generation so in tune to the spiritual things and yet so unchristian or even anti-Christian. So they're not being drawn to the Christian faith. They're being drawn to the things of the spirit world, but not things of Christianity of Jesus Christ. Now again, it's one or the other. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral spiritual forces. And so this is a very, very important gift for us to discern, not only in the church, but in our families and in the world. Because we're going to see manifestations of power, we're going to see teachings, we're going to see people involved in different things. We need to pray that God would reveal to us, is this of God or is this of the enemy? Okay, is this of God or is this of the enemy? One thing I want to look at in three different ways that I think this is being manifested. First, today is in the area of false teaching. Let me share with you over to 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. That sounds pretty clear. Test the spirits to know if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. No middle ground. Okay, one or the other. It's of God or it's not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and now is in the world already. So there is the spirit of Antichrist. As long as the Holy Spirit of Jesus, there is the spirit of Antichrist. Along with truth, there is that which is false. Along with good, there is that which is evil. Along with light, there is that which is darkness. And to be able to distinguish them is very, very important in the world today. So particularly we see in this teaching that there is that which is truth and there is that which is false. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. This is Paul's directions to his disciple Timothy. He says, now the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, which is amazing. He says, the Holy Spirit expressly says. So here is another indication of how the early church depended upon hearing the voice of God through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. So their consciences, in fact, are not able to discern what is good and what is wrong because their consciences have been seared. Our consciences get seared by sin in our lives, by the things we see, which is why it's very important we be very careful what we see, either on TV or in the movies or on the internet. It sears or kind of deadens our consciousness. And then even from a human point of view, it's difficult to know that which is good and that which is evil. But in this, the gift of the Holy Spirit is to be able to discern specifically those things that are good in terms of teaching what is truth and what is not. Because we're told in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, and that's the goal of this, by the way, to get people to depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons. Now, this gift of discernment is something that, again, there's things about a conscience that we can, from a human point of view, discern what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes our conscience just bothers us, you know. What I'm doing just doesn't feel right. What I'm doing, I just don't feel good about this. Okay, that's an act of the conscience. That's something we all have. This gift of discernment is something that any Christian can have because we have the Spirit of Jesus living in us. And so all of us at any time can pray, Lord, help me to know if this is of you or if this is not of you. It continues to be one of my most frequently recited prayers. When I'm encountered with a decision or a situation, I say, Lord, if this is of you, please bless it. If this is not of you, please make it go away. If this is not of you, Lord, please make it go away, whether it's a relationship or a job opportunity or something else. I pray that it is of God, please bless it. If it's not, make it go away. That's really an exercise of discerning what is of God and what is not of God. Now, all of us, I believe, and the teaching is that all of us have that ability for the Holy Spirit to give us that, but it does appear there are certain people within a body who are particularly attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit and particularly attuned to things as such as discerning things of the Holy Spirit. I try to identify within our church, who do I see? Who does God reveal? And in fact, are spiritually attuned and have what's called this gift of discernment. One way that this is very valuable within a church is when I go and do things like home blessings, or the blessing of a home, a house. It's not unusual. People will say, you know, can you come and bless our home? We just had strange things happening. Or particularly if you've moved into a new home, you have no idea what's going on, you know, beforehand. It's good to have a house blessing. Now, this is not something a priest has to do, but certainly something that I offer to do. It's no magic words. I basically go through the house. I anoint all the openings in the house with oil, and I just pray God's protection. Anything in the house that's not of God, I just pray that God would just remove it and banish it. But as we go through the house, I always take someone else with me, or usually take someone else with me, particularly if it's somebody I know has this gift of discernment. Because as we go through a house, I'll look at pieces of art, statues, paintings particularly, and we discern, Lord, is there anything that's not of you that's attached maybe to these objects? It's another whole teaching. I won't get into it. But in fact, I've done that before to show by Scripture that spiritual power can be attached to physical objects, both good and bad. Both good and bad. And so as we go through the house and we'll just pray that God would reveal something, we come upon a painting, you know, and I'll ask, like, you know, do you remember where you got this from? And, oh, yeah, I had an aunt who traveled down to South America and was living with the Incas, and she brought this back and gave it to us as a gift. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's a picture of a bunch of dragons, you know, but they're little cute dragons. And so it's like, well, it must be fine. I mean, it's a beautiful painting or whatever it is. And yet you just have to pray. And you've got to just, I'm not even sure how to describe it, but have you ever had it? Just kind of like, there's something about this that just doesn't seem right. And I'll say to people, you know, if it doesn't have any sentimental value, either pray over it that God would cleanse it by the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, or else take it out of the house and remove it. Just have it be gone. And so this is very important. Statues, now there's some that are kind of obvious. If you have a little statue of Buddha in your house, that really gives me the willies, okay? So if you have anything like that, just really, surprisingly, most people don't realize, but in the Scriptures, frogs. Evil demons are depicted as frogs in one part of Scripture. And so I'm always kind of leery if I see people who have, you know, frogs or pictures of frogs or, you know, again, I'm not saying that means automatically this is of the devil and it's evil. I'm just saying, pray God's discernment. If you are uncomfortable with it or anyway, pray over it. If that doesn't work, get it out of the house. So this is where the gift of discernment is very important to distinguish if this is of God or it's of the enemy. No neutral ground. And so we see that working in terms of either false teaching or truth, and that is what's of the Holy Spirit. This is why I think there's such an attack today on the Holy Scriptures. Because ultimately, the Bible is our benchmark. The Bible is our rule. What we see and what the teaching we have, we must go back and compare it to the Scriptures. As Paul talked in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, he was talking to the Bereans. And it says the Bereans heard what Paul said, and then they went back and they checked the Scriptures to compare what Paul was saying against the Scriptures. That's what all of us should be doing. Anything you hear on Sunday, if you have questions about it, go to the Scriptures and say, well, Don said something a little strange. I'm going to go back and check that Scripture verse and see if that's really what it seems that God is saying. So again, this is between truth and falsehood, between the teaching of God and the teaching of demons, which will lead people astray if we're not careful. As I said, particularly young people today, evidently drawn to the spiritual things, but it's not Christ-centered. It's not centered in Jesus. And so can be very, very dangerous. So that's the first thing, is to this gift of discernment and use of distinguishing between godly teaching, godly truth, and that which is false and is not of God. Very, very important today. A second one I would say, as we see this need for the gift of discernment, is in terms of false signs. And we heard that in our gospel reading today from Matthew. Jesus said, in the end times, he's talking, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. Just do not believe it. So there's going to be an attempt to deceive even the elect in the last times. Now, somebody may not be as overtly specific as saying, oh, I'm Jesus, or oh, Jesus came down. By the way, Jesus is in Toledo, Ohio. Let's all go see Jesus. I don't think it's going to be as specific as that, although who knows, maybe it would be. But Jesus is Savior. What I do think happens very subtly in the world today is people are presented with different Saviors. If you do this, by the way, it will save you. If you have this practice or this whatever you're doing, it will save you. And so as Savior, I think there's a lot of things in the world today that try to entice us to put our faith in something other than Jesus Christ, which is truly idolatry. It's a foreign God. It's a different God. Now, we may not have little statues that we bow down before, like in the times of Jesus, but we have false gods just the same. Anything else that we put our faith in other than Jesus Christ and centered in Christ is potentially something of the enemy and something that we need to be very cautious about and just very careful about. Now, so if we see the world saying to us, here's what you put your faith, this will save you, this will heal you, this will whatever, we need to ask ourselves, where is this power coming from? Jesus himself said, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. See, again, there's the focus. That's the purpose of it, to lead astray those who are believers, to be led astray. That's what the devil's trying to do, is to get people to be led astray. Now, the application I think we'll see in this world goes along with the teaching, is that we're going to see some amazing things happen, some amazing signs, maybe some amazing healings. When that happens, we need to ask ourselves, where is this power coming from? Is this power coming from Jesus, from God, or is it coming from something other than God, which means it's coming from the enemy? We need to ask ourselves, because ultimately it is only the test, as John told us, is this of Jesus Christ? Is it being done in the name of Jesus Christ? Are we pleading the blood of Jesus Christ upon it? Now, the tricky thing is that this is exactly what the Bible tells us about truth. In the end of Mark's gospel, it says you're going to proclaim the gospel. And by the way, God says, I will confirm or affirm the truth of what you're proclaiming by signs and wonders. And that's certainly what happened in the ministry of Jesus, and it happened in the ministry of the apostles in the early church. They were doing amazing things, signs and wonders and healing. And that seems to attract people's attention, right? And then they start telling them about Jesus and the gospel, and they're listening because they're saying, this must be of God, because look at the power that's being manifested. And this is exactly why we see the enemy counterfeiting and deceiving us with things that have the appearance of that which is of God. Because we're going to see the very same thing in the world today. We're going to see people doing some amazing things. And maybe you've seen it already. You know, healings or signs or whatever, maybe words of prophecy or words of foretelling the future, whatever it is, certain power, we need to realize that there are different places that power can come from. And always ask ourselves, is this of God in Jesus Christ? If it's not, have nothing to do with it. I've had people come to me and talk about things like acupuncture. They say, well, you know, acupuncture just seems to be so effective on me. Well, it has a very dark basis, acupuncture, coming from these Eastern religions. And sometimes they do have, I understand, you know, people pray over these needles before they actually put the needles in the body. But it does seem there are pressure points in the body, and for some people, acupuncture seems to work. What I say to people is just pray that Jesus would reveal to you if this is of him or if it's not of him. And actually, when things are happening, any procedures being done with you, in fact, I would say I tell people in the hospital, anything that's going into your body, just pray the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ upon it, whether it's a particular medicine or an IV or pills, whatever's happening in a hospital, pray that God would protect you from anything of the enemy, because it's possible, it happens in hospitals, that there are people of the enemy who, in fact, things happen in hospitals, let me just say that. And so we're just praying. Everything that goes into me, I just pray the cleansing and the blessing of God. I think that's ultimately why we pray over our food, is that God would bless this food that will be holy and healthy unto us. So here's the same thing. We're going to see amazing things happening in our times. We need to always ask ourselves if this is of God or if this is of the enemy. A third one I want to talk about is false brothers. So we have false teaching, false signs, and false brothers. This is something that is, again, in several places in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 13, Paul's talking about those who are in the church, who are false brethren, false apostles. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." So here we see people who will come into a church disguised as believers, as sons and daughters of righteousness, when in fact they're worshipers of the enemy. In this area, we know we've got very large covens. These are people involved in witchcraft, and they are sent strategically. I know this from reports of people actually been recruited by them. They send into churches to go into a church to sow discord and dissension. And it's amazing that pastors would think, well, I can't imagine, you know, people being so strategic that that would actually happen. But it does happen, and I believe it. And we're told here in Scripture, in fact, that it happens. Paul had warned the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, beginning of verse 29. Paul's given final instructions to the elders of Ephesians, Ephesus. Paul writes this. He says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things." Again, here's the goal: to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. So Paul is giving that warning to the leaders, the elders of Ephesus, saying, be careful, because when I leave, these wolves come in as sheep's clothing, okay, to deceive the people. And what are they going to do? They're going to speak twisting things to draw away the disciples after them. So even in the churches, we're going to see people coming in and infiltrating, and we need this gift of discernment. Whenever we have a speaker come, we ask that speaker to make a profession of faith, that in fact they believe in Jesus. He's their Lord, their Savior. This is just one of the ways we pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us if anybody's coming to us with a word of something that's other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here we see three different ways that I believe very important in the church today that we're going to have false teaching. We're seeing it already. I think you've maybe identified it. We talked about the emergent church and things happening in different churches around the world and how it's just this prosperity gospel, as some people call it, is just infiltrating the churches all over the place. All over the place. We're going to see false signs and wonders being done. Amazing power is going to be demonstrated, but it's not going to be of God. We're going to see signs and wonders, I believe, of God, but we're not all. So that's why there's discernment. Is this of God or is it not? And I believe also there's, in this, particularly in this end times, there are false brethren who will come in and to the churches, and they will be wolves in sheep's clothing. And we're told to be cautious and to pray and to be alert that God would reveal that to us. And I don't really worry about this kind of thing, because you'd wonder, say, well, who is... I just pray over all the people. If anybody's not supposed to be here, I pray, Lord, just make these people go. And there was one time, this was like years ago, I'm kind of sharing maybe some uncomfortable things, but particularly for you new people, but don't feel bad. But we had a couple come one time, and this was, again, years ago, just a dynamic couple, you know, just this profile, very active, very likable people. And it was just something about them, and I don't know what it was, but anyway, they came for a few weeks, and then they stopped coming. And I thought, oh, darn, you know, I thought these people are really going to be great, and they're going to, and like, almost literally, the Lord said to me, wait, you asked me to make people leave who are not, you know, really to be part of you. And I'm like, ooh. So I don't always know specifics, so I don't pray about specifics. I just trust it in the Lord. It's His church. All these, you know, the property and everything is all belongs to Him, so He takes care of it. As long as we pray about it and watch for, again, for these signs that He might give us. But He makes people come and people go. And I've grown to have great faith in that. And so I thank God again how He works this own act of discernment in Himself and through us. So spiritual gifts. The gift of discernment, distinguishing between spirits, I think is very much needed in the church today. It's needed in our lives, in our families. because we're going to see amazing things happening in the world today. And we're going to need to be asking ourselves, is this something of God or is it something of the enemy? Because as soon as we break from God and we start to say this is something else, whether it's things like, you know, a Ouija board or other kinds of alternative, you know, healing, faith healings that are not centered in Jesus Christ, we just need to be very, very leery of those, because we're going to see them have power. And it's undeniable, and people are going to assume simply because there's a power, this must be something of God. The scriptures tell us specifically, no, we're to test the spirits and ask ourselves, is this of God or not? I hear some people say, you know, tell me about an amazing thing that happened. I'll say, well, is it a Christian ministry? And they'll say, well, it's not overtly Christian, but yeah, they're Christians. And that always gives me the willies again. They're not overtly Christian. They don't use the name of Jesus, but they're good, you know, people. And they, you know, I'm like, I just believe it's got to be specific. It's got to be verbal. It's got to be open. That the power that we're proclaiming, the signs and wonders, as we do here, when I pray for healing, I pray healing in the name of Jesus Christ. And as people receive that and the power is working, say, where's that power? It's coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, that's the test the scriptures give us. Is it done in the name of Jesus? If you ever have an angel visit you, or some kind of spirit presence or something, and I know people have shared this, and many people are afraid to share it because they'll think, well, we're crazy. You know, who sees such things? A lot of people see them, visited by angels or some spiritual being. First thing we ask is, tell me about Jesus. Ask the spirit, tell me, if it's an angel, but tell me about Jesus. And I've read about an account where someone did this and the spirit went away and just disappeared. Okay, tell me about Jesus. That's the test. And that's why I don't know people who don't profess Jesus but yet are involved in the spirit world. How do you protect yourself? If the one protection that God gives us is the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the person of Jesus Christ. So that is our faith, particularly in these end times. It can be uncomfortable. It can be a little bit scary for us to think, wow, this sounds really kind of scary that there's stuff going on and we're not always going to know if it's of God or of the enemy. And I'm like, yes, I agree with that. But ultimately, our faith is in God, that He will guide us. And truly, if there's something that's not of God, He will let us know. I believe that. If not individually, He will let the church know. You know, come and talk to me or get some other people who are believers and pray with them and say, by the way, I'm seeing this happen or I'm getting this sense or whatever. Do you think this is of God? Let's pray together and let's ask God to reveal this to us. I absolutely believe He will do that. He will answer that prayer because He does not want His people to be deceived. And so the promise is there, the power is there, but we need to be vigilant. That's the caution. He says, watch. Don't be deceived. Watch and don't be deceived. And so, these are signs that there's power being released. I believe power of the Holy Spirit. I believe also power of the enemy is on the rise. We're seeing things happening. This distinguishing between is it God or the enemy is very, very important. As we follow the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Spirit, putting our faith in prayer, truly the best is yet to come, despite what we might think. Maybe overwhelmed and like, oh, I'm worried, you know, things are happening. Look what's happening in the world. Look what's happening in government. The best is yet to come because of Jesus Christ and because God really does love us more than we can imagine. I'm going to try this again. Would someone else please close us in a prayer? Name of Jesus. Amen.